This first room on the left, called the Moravian Room, there's a little brochure in there. Let me just read to you. Today's just going to be sort of a lot of sharing of my heart, what's going on. We've been talking about marriage truths. We made through five of them. We got five more. But last week, I just felt to stop, and that was good teaching, good pastoral stuff. But just to share what I felt prophetically, the Lord's, the timing, the Kairos moment, what he's doing. And so before I jump into that, because we'll probably finish it up today, but in there is a little brochure, and I'm reading from this brochure. It's talking about the Moravians that over 175 years ago were kicked out of here by the Trail of Tears. And the revival that was going on among the Cherokee. Oh, I forgot to dismiss. If you need to be dismissed to the teen class, proceed on. Sorry. And so 175 years ago, there was a full-blown revival among the Cherokee Indians led by the Moravians, which was an apostolic movement that came out of Germany. Moravia, Germany, they were technically called the United Brethren. Still a denomination today. But there's a paragraph in here that I want to read that I think applies, that I'm going to tie back into the vertical worship and what the Lord's doing. 20 years ago, the Lord, when I was not been here that long, the Lord said, there are wells in this city that have been stopped up by men. Okay? If you can find them, then you can dig these wells back out. It took a little while, started learning about the Moravians, realized there was a little bit of, that this was one of the ancient wells that had been stopped up by men, the Trail of Tears, and then the religious spirit after that. And this happens. You know, Isaac had three wells given to him by Abraham. But then the enemy came in and to punish him, stopped him up. He unstops them, then they stopped him up again, and they went and dig some more wells. Wells in the Middle East represent, especially in ancient times, represent life, represent flowing water. Without water, we die. And symbolically, spiritually, these things mean life from the throne room to us. See, there's a flowing river, as Ezekiel says, always coming from the throne room. We can get in ankle deep, we can go up thigh deep, we can go waist deep, or we can go in over our heads. And the water represents his word, what he's speaking, what he's doing. And these wells, you have them in your generational line that have been stopped up. Isaac had them in his generational line. There's many different ways to interpret this. There's the physical wells, but it also for you represents spiritual wells. I'm just going to pause right here because I feel there's an anointing on this, and then we'll jump into what I was going to talk about, the Moravians. There's some of you. There have been wells that have been opened up, I just prophesy to you, by your previous generations. You may think you're a first generation Christian. I'm speaking to several of you. You may think you're a first generation Christian, but I'm telling you by the Spirit, if you go back far enough, it may be five generations, it may be 15, it may be three. There was somebody godly in that line, and something happened with your in your bloodline that stopped these things up. Mud was thrown into them. Things were thrown into them, which was typically what they did. They'd throw mud and sand in there, which represents the flesh. And let's just stand. We're just going to pray over this because there's some of you here that there's some bloodlines he wants to clean out today so that you can inherit fully what flows down. See, as Americans, we do not think generationally. That is a cultural thing that is not God. There are many cultures on earth that think generationally, usually the Asian cultures are probably the best known for this. It is, blessings are to accumulate like compound interest through the generations coming down. You understand what I'm saying? And so some of you go, well, maybe there was somebody back there, or maybe even it was my grandfather, but my parents just, they walked in the flesh. Well, the Lord's saying today, I am going to redeem those generations. I'm going to unstop those wells spiritually and let the water start flowing. That whoever stopped those things up, flesh, selfishness, and in Jesus' name, Sean, even you, I'm telling you, the Lord's on. There's something in your past that I don't even think you know of. There is a strong group of people or strong somebody in your bloodline that follow God. I don't even think you know about it. I don't know how you know about it, but that's part of why you're walking in what you're walking in now, because they were praying their covenant for their grandkids, great grandkids, and whoever it applies here applies to you. And they're even from heaven now as a part of the cloud of witnesses saying, Father, I did my part and I thank you that you did your part. And so let's just pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank everybody here. We may have to go back a long ways, but I thank you, everybody here, Father, in Jesus' name, where those generational wells, where those bloodline wells have been stopped up and there's just maybe a trickle. In Jesus' name, we say by the blood of Jesus, we repent for our forefathers where they walked in flesh and put mud and silt in there. And we thank you that right now in Jesus' name, you are unstopping those wells. That water is flowing again. And where those flowing comes down to us to speed us on our way, to have blessings and inheritance that we do not have. And I just speak to everybody here prophetically. I say you have an inheritance spiritually. You have an inheritance, and I thank you that it is coming through right now in Jesus' name. And we're going to sense it. We're going to see it. And we thank you, because it says in Proverbs, we leave an inheritance to our children's children. And that's not just money. It implies money, but it is more than that. And I thank you in Jesus' name for bloodlines being redeemed, for bloodlines being unstopped, and that you will not be stopped by previous flesh. Just as Isaac, we can go back and read that story, but we're not going to. He had his wells stopped up. He did new ones. In the end, his enemies came to him and they said, I see the prosperity of the Lord on you. And they went back and unstopped the wells. And then he had peace with his enemies. And Father, I thank you for an unstopping generationally here in Jesus' name. And whatever needs to flow is now flowing and may flow past those where the stopping point is, and it is going to flow stronger to our kids in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated if you want. Did you have something? Not sure? Later. All right, cool. All right, so we just talked about these generational wells. Let me read to you a paragraph that's out of that little booklet you can get in the Moravian Room. There's five things they brought that were very unique. But let me read to you on the music thing with the vertical worship. Music was a large part of their services. And we're talking they left in 1833. So that's 67, over 180 years ago. Music was a large part of their services and heritage. 250 years during the Great Reformation period, the Moravians were the first Protestants in all of Europe to publish a hymn book. They had a musical anointing on their life. Out of all the Protestant churches, they were known to have the best developed music departments. Their people would sing the hymns day and night when other Protestant churches barely even sung in the church service. Here is a quote by a leading church leader of the day from another church that describes the impact the Moravians had on the country of Germany through their music. So this was, I won't even quote the guy's name. I mean, it's a German name. So this is another guy from another church speaking about the Moravians. Your churches surpass all others in singing. For where else are songs of praise, thanksgiving, prayer instruction so often heard? Where is there better singing? The newest edition of the Bohemian Hymn Book with its 743 hymns. That's a lot of music. Is an evidence of the multitude of your songs. In your churches, the people can all sing and take part in the worship of God. In Spring Place, where they were at here, This is specifically to them. Many times, see, people from all different nations would come through. Many times, when an interpreter for the message was not available, they would not speak and just simply play music. I'm just telling you. People go, why at RC do you just play music sometimes? Why do you do so much music? It's because it was started 180 years ago. The people that brought the gospel here. Just let that sink in. We are tapping into a generational well. This is not new. If somebody goes, you're doing something new. No, it was done 180 years ago. I can show it to you from history. They would simply play music and let the Spirit of God minister through that. What we're doing is, we may not get to everything else I was going to say, but what we're doing is far bigger than we are. We're restoring ancient wells. It is thought that the first organ, of course, organ was how they played all music, okay? I mean, they had some other ones, but that was the major one. Listen to this. Little Dalton, Georgia. They'd come in on the coast, usually. Sometimes they'd come from other directions at Savannah. But it is thought that the first organ played in Georgia was in Spring Place. There is just a well with the music that we started following by the Spirit, and then the Lord started showing us, you are doing what was done 180 years ago. Maybe we don't do an organ. Maybe we do an electric keyboard. But you're playing and letting the Spirit move through that. What a heritage, man. What a heritage. Friday night, the Lord just showed me, it's down the road, but a plan to try to spread this, what we're calling vertical worship. Maybe we don't keep that name, but it works good now. Down the road. And he said, the fire that is here is to never go out. As this thing moves to other churches, it's always here. We never stop the first Friday or whatever day we do of that month. Maybe we change the day, but it never stops here. Because this is where people are coming and getting their torch lit to take back to where they go. And so it's just cool. Torches are being lit between Friday night and the previous Friday. There's, I guess, five ministries that are coming through. There's the little different ones this time. And they're getting their torch lit. The wells are being unstopped from 180 years ago, which came from Moravia, Germany, the previous 450 years. IHOP, which I love IHOP, learned a lot from them. They're known for their 24/7 prayer, which they've been doing since 1999. That's amazing. But you realize they were not the first ones. You know where they got it? The same group of people. During the middle 1700s, almost 80 years before they moved here, they did 100 years of praying. They didn't quite do it like IHOP did, but every hour for 24 times a day, day and night, for 100 years, they prayed. Is that insane or what? And when people like Craig, you're so passionate. RC, you're so intense. I'm going, dude, we're 450 years behind the curve. Don't tell me intense. We're not praying 100. We're not supposed to be doing that now, but you get my point. Whatever, each generation has a calling on their life and their generation. And we're restoring this, and we're going to take this in Jesus' name before I die further than it was 180 years ago. That's the whole purpose of the roundtable of worship leaders and Friday nights. Not to give us a place to come and listen, but a place for people to get their torches lit so that Jesus is carried on this, the backs of shoulders. And then maybe by the end of the decade, if what's in my spirit happens, we'll pass what was done 180 years ago. And then the next generation can build on that because the wells were not stopped up for a long, you know, decades and decades. Is that exciting or what? And this is happening. And so let me review what I talked about last week and then go a little bit further with it. And are y'all in a hurry? My heart breaks right now for the bride of, for the body of Christ. And the reason is, and I'm going to review some last week, the Lord is trying to, the Holy Spirit is His job is to move us from the body of Christ to the bride of Christ. And they are two different things. The bride is one who has eyes only for Jesus. Let's talk about that. We talked about it last week. But this is a critical time. I guess every generation is critical, and I'm just feeling it. So I'm probably overblowing it. It's probably critical 5 years ago, but I'm feeling it now, okay? More than I ever have. For us to move from the body to the bride. Matthew 25. It's rather long. It's 13 verses, verse 1 through 13. But I want to read it again because I believe we're at this phase. It's about the 10 virgins. When the end comes, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids. They took their oil lamps and went out to meet the groom. Now, you know, every parable in the Gospels is a natural story. And you can interpret it on just a natural level. But it's also got spiritual principles and paradigms behind it. So you can read it at two different levels. And so they took their oil lamps and went to meet the groom. Five of them were foolish, five were wise. The foolish bridesmaids took their lamps, but they didn't take any extra oil. The wise bridesmaids, however, took along extra oil for their lamps. Since the groom was late, it's been 2,000 years. The groom's talking about Jesus Christ. The bridesmaids are talking about us. All the bridesmaids became drowsy and fell asleep. I really think we're in the, you know, the first three chapters of Revelation is talking about the seven churches. At any one time, and there's spiritual principles there. They were seven physical churches, and they were sending all of them a corrective word. Prophet John was, or Apostle John was sending them a corrective word. But it also, you take these two to the second level. There's natural levels and then spiritual. I really think out of the seven, the last one, the Laodicea, which says, I wish that you're not hot and you're not cold, you're lukewarm, probably best describes the American church, not the entire church around the world, but the American church. And if you look at that one, that is a scary verse. It implies a difference between the body and the bride. Let me explain. Revelation 3:20, he's talking to the Laodicean church. He's saying to his church that he's the head of, that he's saved for, knocks on the door. He is knocking on the American church right now, which is individuals. Let me in. Even though you're saved. I stand therefore at the door and knock. If anyone will let me in, I will come in and eat supper with him. Now that doesn't mean much in our culture. In their culture, eating supper, I've been to Turkey and you eat this way. You don't have to, but I went to some restaurants that eat in the local way where it's a table about 2.5 feet off the ground, maybe 2 feet. And you got pillows and you sit around and lounge while you eat because you're not in a hurry because you're not driving through McDonald's. And you lounge. It's a concept of intimacy. He's saying, let me in, church, and I will be intimate with you. There's two levels there. They were saved. But a lot of them weren't letting them in. Now, I don't know what you do with this. I don't think you lose your salvation. But it's sobering to me. So let's keep work going on. At midnight, someone shouted, "The groom is here. Come to meet him." I believe right now that the groom is calling us out to three things. We covered one last week, and that was calling to his heart. Calling to intimacy is another way to put it. But calling us to his heart and not just his hand. Several years ago, I was doing the charismatic theology thing that I was taught to do, most charismatic churches do. Lord, come and bring healing, miracles, signs and wonders. That's a good prayer. It's not a bad prayer. But for me, where I was at, where he wanted to transition us as a church, he said, "That's my hand. Would you like to have my heart?" Because you know, here's another scary verse. In the Revelation, it says there's a group of people that cast out demons, healed the sick, spoke in tongues. They had signs and wonders. But he said, "I did not know you." You can have his hand without knowing his heart. That knowing is like the intimate relationship between a man and a woman. It's not knowing like we do in our English. What do you do with that? I'm not sure. I'm not going to make a doctrine out of it. But I want to know him. And he is calling us now to his heart. Let me tell you, when you have his heart and he knows your heart, you don't have to worry about the hand. It'll just happen wherever. Come to meet him. That's the calling right now. Reviewing from last week. Meet him. Then all the bridesmaids woke up and got their lamps ready. Notice here, you might have read ahead or you've heard this passage. All 10 heard him. That's why I think they were all Christians. They heard his voice. It says in Romans 8:14, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So they heard him. I think they were all Christians here. But only 5 of them, and this is where my heart is broken for the American church. I cannot describe to you. Most of my intercession, most of my thoughts is consumed with the American church. I don't know why. It's just you go where the Holy Spirit leads you. I sort of really don't wish I had that burden, to be honest with you. But you go where the Holy Spirit leads you. They are hearing now. You are hearing now. You've heard this. You're responsible for it. I'm confirming it. I'm responsible. He is calling me, coming. Do you want to meet me on the other side of the Revelation 3:20 door? The foolish one said to the wise ones, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." But the wise bridesmaids replied, "We can't do that. There won't be enough for both of us. Go, find someone to sell you some oil." While they were buying oil, the groom arrived. The bridesmaids who were ready went with him into the wedding hall, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids arrived and said, "Sir, open the door for us." But he answered them, "I don't even know at this intimate level who you are." Obviously, he knew them at some level because they heard him calling. You know, we're not going to make a doctrine out of this, but there's something going on here. But he'd answered them, "I don't even know who you are, so stay awake because you don't know the day or the hour." I'm just telling you, I can't hardly keep from crying now. Most Christians I know are caught up in narcissism, looking for signs and wonders and blessings. And God gives them to them because he's a gracious God. But he wants to take us to a place where we can know his heart. And that's where I'm going after. And as a result, whatever influence I have here, this is where we're going. Because he saved us for these things. And that's why we're doing worship we do here. After last week's message, Alexis Eaker sent me a quote. Rick Pino, those of you know him, he's an older worshiper that had a great influence on us in the mid-2000s, still does, but really then. He did this quote this past week, said this past week. So I'm telling you, this is what, by the Holy Spirit, the Kairos moment, he's calling us to meet him now. I know in whatever that was, Matthew 25, there is a place where there's a final coming together, maybe the second coming of Jesus Christ. I don't know. I don't have an insight on it. It doesn't say. But he's calling us now into intimacy now. And this is what Rick Pino said. Intimacy with God. Now, he's talking, this was last week, okay? So it's not like a 10-year-old word. Intimacy with God will be paramount this year. This year, if you pursue God, you will miss nothing. But if you neglect God, you will miss everything. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Kim Clement, now this is an old quote. Long time ago, I don't know. I didn't write down the date when I made it. At least a decade. But it fits in here. Religion has once again clothed the Son of Man, endeavoring to place him before mankind, acceptable. But it is now time for him to arise again and come to a generation who are dissatisfied. Man, that's good. Man, we didn't even get past reviewing last week. Let's stand. We're going to pray for a few minutes. If Mike, can you come up here and do the piano? We're just going to pray. I think that's all the Lord wanted us to do. We're just going to pray. We're just going to ask Him. Tell Him we don't want to just talk, that we want to meet Him. And I don't even know what all that means. It's individual to you. But a lot of it is a longing, or the guitar, whatever's easier for you. And so a lot of it's just a longing for Jesus, okay? Nothing else besides Him. Let me get the mic. And as I kid, Mike, just quietly play.
Go ahead. When Brian shared about the cart palanquin, it's called a palanquin, and it's an Eastern country tradition. And that was so powerful to me. It reminded me when David was transporting the ark into Jerusalem. Remember? And David in the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, made out of fir wood, on harps and stringed instruments and tambourines and so forth. And they came to the threshing floor. Uzzah put out his hand in the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there in his error, and he died there by the ark of God. The name Uzzah means strength. He was just trying to do what he thought was a good idea. And if Jesus is being carried on a palanquin, he's inviting the priests of the Most High God to come along. And is it not amazing that you can carry him, not in the ark, but literally as a royal presence in this time, and you not be struck dead? Because he says, I want vertical worship by those who revere me intimately, not in their own strength, but in the strength that I give you to carry your lamp, and to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in intimacy with me. Those are the ones I want to carry my ark. And that is vertical worship. Worshiping in intimacy and safety.
Amen. So I'm going to just lead off with a prayer for ourselves. There's some of you, I think the Lord's going to be challenging you as intercessors and prayers and just believers. We're also going to pray for this region because we're bigger than, we start with ourselves, but we're more than just for ourselves here at RC. And this is a prayer for this region to return to Him, but also to return to what was planted here 180 years ago. And some of you, the Lord's going to start, even today, start moving on you to pray for this, I call it region, you know, these counties here. And because this is what He died for. As that Moravian Room, you go in there, there's a quote around the top. May the Lamb get the reward of His suffering. The reward is to eat dinner with you. Amen. To have the marriage supper of the Lamb with you. Mike, I can't ever remember the name. Sean, come up here just in case the Lord gives you anything as we sing. So Father, in Jesus' name, we come to You. Father, I repent of any places that I heard Your voice, but I wasn't prepared because I wouldn't spend time with the oil, getting my own oil of the Holy Spirit. I repent of all those times. I repent, Holy Spirit, of all those times I ignored Your voice or put it to the back burner and said tomorrow, but then it tomorrow's too late. And we say to You, Holy Spirit, we say to You, speak to us. Show us how to get prepared for the bridegroom's voice. You're like, I can't remember His name. It's like Hege or something like that. Helped Esther over a 12-month period to be prepared before the king. And you're like this Hege, if I'm pronouncing it, probably not even close. But You're getting us ready, bathing us, clothing us, helping us pick out the jewelry and the symbolically and the clothes for the king. And we say today, show us wherever we've placed religion, a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Wherever we've replaced our career, our family, our spouses, before knowing You. And we say, do not let us be without oil. We say, the best way we know how, we open the door and say, we want to have supper with You. Lord, we don't know how to do this. But we thank You, Holy Spirit. You're like the servant of the king to Esther, and You're going to show us. And we lay everything down, whatever that, we only lay down what You tell us to lay down. But we lay it down if it's in the way of being prepared. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, I don't even know if I should pray this in public or not. Let me do it this way. Father, wherever the spirit of religion, which is forming something that looks like You but is not You, peel it back from our eyes and this region's eyes. No more false, Father. No more fake. Let the doors open so that we can make a conscious decision. And we pray enlightenment and discernment all over this region for those Christians that want it but just don't know any better, Father. And wherever we have, and Father, give, I just pray Your mercy on Christians where they have said no for whatever reason. Give them another chance to say yes to more of You.